Hey everybody, welcome to the Goots Cast. I'm the host, Ray Goots. We hate wrestling, all that other shit. What a fucking, let me tell you something before we start. They're fucked. They are in trouble. This is the first time in 23 years, I feel like.
Who is they?
WWE.
WWE is in trouble.
Yeah. I don't think they know how much trouble they're in. This is the first time since 1998. I can see another company overtaking them. That's how bad tonight was and how good last night was.
Hey, do you want to not talk about SummerSlam and just spend an hour talking about CM Punk and fantasy booking him? Because I was legit thinking that. Like, you want a fantasy book? Like a year's worth?
No. Because like, Tony Khan can still fuck this up. This show was horrible. When almost had the best match of the show.
I can't say it was horrible because I've seen way worse pay-per-views.
It was a very bad SummerSlam.
Man, I can't say it was like, it was boring. A lot of parts were boring.
But you know what made it bad is that they don't know. Take the match qualities out. Like the finishes were all atrocious. They don't know.
I think we owe an AEW apology. They're not the only ones who can't think of a finish.
Don't know how to get these they gotta start getting some faces over, and they're not doing it. They're making face look like a fucking idiot. And let's get into it. Let's start.
Don't get me wrong, guys. There's problems with the show, but there's like a lot of things that happened that I can't say was the worst show, but we're gonna get into
I'll tell you, this was not the show they needed to do. The night after what happened, if CM Punk had never come out last night and last night was a regular Pro Wrestling Rampage, I don't think I'd be so down on this show. But they needed to like really put on something fun, and this was not that.
Yeah, I think some people who are WWE like apologists, like who just like WWE all the way, will disagree with us, right? But I'm kind of on board with you. Like, there kind of was a misstep, but we're going to get into it. Mm-hmm. We're going to start the pre-show. Pre-show is Big E versus Baron Corbin. Now, I am going to say this. This is a match that I would say is a must-watch just because of the commentary. This match should be a classic example that they teach future commentators on how to get a gimmick over, okay? Mm-hmm. Snatch starts off with, they have a special guest ring announcer. Her name is Rain Cruz. She won a contest to be a guest announcer. She introduces Big E, and she's doing a good job. She's introducing Baron Corbin, and Michael Cole fucking interrupts, like talks over her, right? Mm-hmm. Pat McAfee goes, she had to win a contest in order to get this job, and you just dance all over her announcement. And then it's bad enough she has to introduce a Baron Corbin, but like it couldn't get any worse. And I fucking loved it, because that right there is an example of Pat McAfee not only putting Michael Cole in his place about being professional, but also getting a storyline over about he's still shitting on Baron Corbin. And the whole fucking match, he is just shitting on Baron Corbin. It's fucking excellent. There's a point where Baron Corbin like gets the announce table and you hear him go, "Hey, you stink." Like, it's awesome. Big E hits the big ending for the win. I would say just watch it, just listen to a fucking commentator get a gimmick over as this is such a shitty guy. Like, he gets this gimmick over of like why you as the audience member should think Baron Corbin is a loser. It's perfect. Perfectly done. What did you think?
This was a good match. This should have been on the main card, and some of the other matches should have been the fucking pre-show. It was a really good pre-show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think long term, I see big things with Baron Corbin. I think when they turn the character face, I think that's when he's going to become the star that they want him to be.
Baron Corbin, in a lot of ways, reminds me of Cody Rhodes. Because Cody, when he was in WWE, he would hit a home run in every fucking gimmick they gave him. He would just knock it out of the park.
But now the fans are finally acknowledging that he is. We're all finally realizing he always does that.
And Baron Corbin's the same way, because I feel like he knocks out anything.
I'm saying we're all finally realizing how good Baron Corbin is now.
Well, I've always been a Baron Corbin
fan. All right, well, good for you.
I knew from day one, guys. So SummerSlam begins. There is 51,326 people in attendance, according to them, in Las Vegas.
For most of the show, it sounded like nobody was in that building.
Is it an open stadium?
No.
Yeah, because it's, dude. Oh, okay. It did not sound like 51,000 people, but I was under the assumption that maybe it was an open stadium. But if it's not,
have you noticed in WrestleMania? Have you noticed the crowds have just been fucking awful? That's why I think the Punk thing also was, because it actually felt like a real crowd. It felt like a real old school crowd. Like the WWE crowds have been atrocious since things have come back.
Here's a comparison, guys. So tonight's SummerSlam, let's just say 50,000 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Rampage last night, it is 14,000 people. Okay. 15. I'll round up 15, right? That's about 30,000 difference, right? And the 15 sounded louder than this 50,000 tonight. Yeah. So that's the comparison.
It just, they were horrible. But I also thought the crowd at WrestleMania was horrible. Every time WWE in front of the crowds has felt weird since COVID.
Maybe it's because a good chunk of WWE's audience are kids and they're wearing a mask and it doesn't make the sound come out.
I don't know. There's something off. Also, I don't think anyone's over. That's a whole other story.
Also, another theory.
Because when people that were over came out, which we'll get to, you heard the crowd.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Yeah, another thing I can say, another reason why it's quieter is because, the fans themselves are not excited, right? Mm-hmm. You can't fault them. That's not their fault if they're not excited. We're going to our first match. RK-Bro, Randy Orton and Matt Riddle versus AJ Styles and Almost for the Raw Tag Team titles. Does Almost always wear the CM Punk tape around his fucking wrist, or did he just start doing this?
I don't know. I don't pay attention.
Oh, because he had the fucking CM Punk wrist tape and like all over his fucking things. He looked like he had two broken arms. Randy Orton hits the RKO on AJ Styles for the new tag team titles, for the new tag team champions of RK-Bro. What did you think of this match?
I thought this was the best match of the show. Here's why. It wasn't like it had the best finish. It got over the act. It got everybody look good. Everybody even Almost looked good, and that guy can barely wrestle. And the finish like made you feel good. It was a good start to the show. So I thought it was the best match of the show. It was the most give you a good time match. Whereas everything else just felt like they were going like, go fuck yourselves.
Okay. I just couldn't get into this match. I just couldn't.
Felt about every other match. But
this felt like
this match I wasn't that into, but the little bit that it flowed good. It had a good flow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Match number two. I'm not going to call her by her first name because I don't want your fucking thing going off. Bliss versus Eva Marie. So Bliss's character, as much as I fucking hate Lily and all this shit, while she's coming to the ring, there was like at least three other Lily dolls, meaning like people are buying this fucking thing. So I'm like, I guess it's getting over.
But there was no pop.
Yeah, but like if it wasn't something, there was a point where Eva Marie slaps Lily the doll and people fucking got a reaction. Now, it's a fucking doll. And if it wasn't over to some degree, there would have been no reaction. So I'm like, dude, remember, I'm not a fan of this, but I'm guessing some people like this. Bliss hits a DDT for the victory, guys. A fucking DDT. She hit a fucking DDT and she wins. Piper Niven, because I refuse to call her by a slave name. Piper Niven. Piper Niven grabs the mic after the match. She's all smiling and she goes, the loser of this match Eva Marie. And everyone's like, yeah. What did you think?
Horrible. Watching this match, I was like, they are really in their own world. Like, how can you watch last night and then get together these three women and be like, this is the thing we're gonna put in front of people? Like, how did like, it was just like, what planet? Like, this whole thing, even the way Doudrop or Piper was moving, it's all for Vince. It's all to cater to Vince. This is what Vince thinks is good. But it's like, at this point, it's like, how long are you going to have a company that just caters to... They're in for... I don't think they understand what a rude awakening they are in for. Jim Cornette said... Jim Cornette was like... you know, he hates AEW, right? He fucking hates everything.
Ever since fucking Tony Khan said nice things about his fucking butt buddy.
Well, hold on. He said they on the pay-per-view, the CM Punk debut today. And he was like, it's not what I would have done. I would have done something way different. And I would have been wrong because it was fucking perfect. It was a home run. The only thing they have to do is not fuck it up. And he was like, it was like the best thing they've ever done. Everyone is saying like, this is the best thing they've ever done. I don't look, I'm at the point now after watching this event.
Wait,
I
think by the way, CM Punk is the way they brought him out. The build up and bringing him out.
Well, I'll tell you why the build up was so good in a second. When we get to the Sasha Banks match, I'm gonna tell you why the build up was so good when we get to that. I gotta make a point. But fuck, what was I gonna say about CM Punk in this match? I think Adam Cole. I think if they offer Adam Cole $5 a year, he should go to AEW. He should not stay in this company after watching this event. AEW should, if AEW goes, you have to pay me $500 a week to perform here. He should still go to AEW. That's how bad this whole thing was.
Sometimes money is the most important thing. Yes, you're right.
No, I'm saying no. If Tony Khan is like, I'm not paying you, you have to pay me. He should still go to AEW.
No, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter how much WB offers you. Sometimes money is not
this, the most. This show is the money will come when this show is so fucking bad. But this segment was like, how do you put this segment? Here's the deal. I was watching Eva Marie. She's actually not that bad in the ring. And you could actually, if you found the right storyline for her, she wouldn't be that bad. But they're almost going out of their way to kind of prove everyone who fucking hates her right. Which is like, makes no sense to me. It's like, why are you doing this to her? Everyone already hates her. She clearly has attempted to improve, like, in her training. And you're just making her look fucking stupid. I also think, like, this Alexa Bliss thing, I think after they fired Bray, it's kind of dead. There were Lily Dolls, but I think those people bought Lily Dolls before Bray got fired. I think when Bray...
Were they selling Lily Dolls before Bray got fired?
They were selling Lily Dolls the minute WrestleMania. Remember, Lily debuted the night after WrestleMania, bro. It's been months now. It's been like five months. What do you think? Lily showed up a week ago?
Yeah, it kind of feels like a blur to do it at all.
Lily's been around for months. I think once Bray walks out on AEW, they got to change that gimmick. They got to go back to the bitchy gimmick because, like, I think it's dead in the water already. I think once Bray left, I think a lot of the fun of the gimmick left, and this was horrible. This was tone deaf. The way Piper Niven is, it's like an alien. It's like a fucking alien came down and wrote this segment. Like a person who's never interacted with other human beings. It was so fucking bad. And all three women can do better. And it was just, you know, so
it's like bad. It's actually like if you got an 8-year-old to write wrestling.
It was like how.
You get
an 8-year-old. No, because even an 8-year-old would have been like, what the fuck is this?
A 7-year-old. It's like getting a 7-year-old to write this.
But you know what? It had the best finish of all three women's matches. That's the saddest part.
What, the DDT?
No, the
right woman. Out of all three women's matches?
The right woman went over, I'm saying.
Oh.
It got the person they're trying to get over.
I guess. I mean... It's not really much of a competition, but yeah.
I know. There's not much. Let's keep going.
Yeah. It's like picking the best out of a bunch of losers.
I know. Jesus.
Mario Lopez.
Looks great.
This fucking guy doesn't age. I used to hate that joke, but now it's like, Dude, this is not even a joke anymore. It's like something like what is he doing? Does he do like does he get work done in his
face? He must, but he gets it real. He must have an excellent surgeon because you can't tell. He looks like it's 19. He looks like 1992.
He doesn't have a single wrinkle.
Yeah. And he doesn't look it doesn't look like he's like he had surgery.
Yeah, there's like
usually you can tell.
The only reason why I'm saying asking if he
got has to
is because it's like it's either he got surgery or he's a fucking vampire. There's like no other because dude, it's like 2021. What the dude, fuck?
Randy Orton looks older than him.
Okay, actually, I need you to explain this segment because I didn't get it. So Mario Lopez, he's interviewing the new tag team Raw Tag Team Champions, RK-Bro, and Randy Orton goes, "The most dangerous letters in WWE, RK-Bro, bro." Bro, and he walks away all sad, and Mario Lopez is like really confused, and Matt Riddle's like, "I get to he just saying that we're best. I don't understand what's going on. What the fuck is going on here?"
And he realized that bro is not a letter, and he was like, "Shit, I fucked up my because it used to be RKO. He's used to saying RKO, and then the character is like, "Oh, bro is not a letter. It's bro's a word. I'm a fucking idiot."
Telling me.
Randy Orton realized he was just the character. Now
that bro is not a letter.
It's a word. They've
been calling themselves RK Bro for like a month.
I know, but Randy Orton's catchphrase is the most dangerous letters there are. And he goes into it, and then halfway through, the character realizes I'm a fucking idiot, and he just walks away like, "Oh, I'm a fucking idiot. I fucked that."
He is a fucking idiot if he doesn't understand.
But that's the point. He realizes he's a fucking
that
idiot.
Bro is not a letter.
Yes, he realized it. Because he's so used to seeing that catchphrase, he's like, "Oh, I fucked it up."
I didn't understand what was going on, dude. I couldn't. It was meant to be a joke. Yeah, I was like
that. He made a mental fart, and he realized. And they're trying to make him fun. They're trying to make him relatable. It's better than him.
I didn't even understand it, dude.
I thought it's fine. It's better than him droning on and on about how he's the legend killer and all this other
maybe
shit.
Maybe the acting was bad, but I thought it was like he was going to start turning on him or something. I have no idea. I couldn't
understand. No, he just realized he was an idiot. The so character.
Really fucking dumb, guys. Match number three. Damian
not the Priest. Dumbest thing on the show.
Not the
surprise. That's what.
Not the surprisingly, said. Not the dumbest thing on the show. You're right. Yeah. Surprisingly. Dude. Not even the second dumbest thing on the show, I would say. Match number three, Priest versus Sheamus for the U.S. title. Priest hits the Reckoning for a clean victory. We got the new U.S. title. Damian Priest's first title in the main roster. What'd you think of this match?
Boring. I think every Sheamus match is boring.
I couldn't get into it.
I don't know why you're dragging Sheamus out still after all these years.
I'll be honest with you. I couldn't get into any match tonight. Not a single one.
Yeah.
I did not get into
that's why the main event was my favorite match. Because even though I wasn't into it, it like told – like we know – we've known. We've kind of known since RK-Bro came together. They're going to beat Almos and AJ for the belt. And then they just did it. They did the story they were supposed to do. They didn't get cute with it. These guys don't get along. Now they get along. Now they get the tag belts. That's why I thought it was the best because everything else was fucking stupid and boring. At least that led to something, you know?
11 matches, and I couldn't get into a single fucking one of these matches.
That's why I'm not saying that was the best match because it was so fucking good. It was the only one that told a logical story.
The Mysterious Nerd backstage, and Ray's like, "Come on, son, we can't fuck up. We're going to go right to our match number four. The Mysterios versus the Usos for the SmackDown tag team titles." The Usos hit a double super kick to a kneeling Rey Mysterio, and basically they fucking super kick sandwich him, and then they hit a Usos top rope splash on Rey Mysterio for the Usos to retain their tag team titles. I'll tell you one thing. The audience was into this match.
I fucking hated this match. I fucking hate it. I'll tell you why I fucking hate it.
Okay, why did you hate about this match?
So the fucking announcers on the pre-show and on the show, they go like, "Oh, Dominic lately has been cheating. He's not really, you know, he's kind of like cheating." They're indicating that like, you know, he's kind of Breaking Bad. And so in logical wrestling storyline, if on AEW, if JR and Tony Khan, like Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, are kind of having problems, in the match, they're going to have, it's a foreshadow. They're going to have problems.
Yeah.
Dominic didn't do anything
to
indicate that he's cheating.
Clean victory. No bullshit.
I thought when they were just beating the shit out of Rey Mysterio, he was going to come running in the chair and hit these two idiots. And he's just, and this was the first match, and there's more, where they make the good guy look like a complete fucking idiot. They make both this, where they make the face completely fucking stupid. And Rey Mysterio, I'm used to Rey Mysterio being like that. They've done that to him now for like almost 20, oh my God, 19.
Oh months. Yeah, they did. But Rey Mysterio knows what the deal is.
But Dominic, they're indicating that he might be, you know, and it makes sense. Like, dude, you've been getting your ass kicked for 20 years. Fuck that. I'm going to hit these guys with a chair. That would make sense for Dominic. Instead, he just lays like a sack of shit outside the ring. Why did you even bring that up? Why did you? Again, that would be like, oh, the Rockers are having problems, and then they blow each other in the middle of the ring. No, you're indicating that Dominic is going to turn heel. It's just so fucking stupid.
Do you remember Ray was in the first All In?
Yeah, he should have stayed there.
Yeah, he should have. Well, technically, AEW didn't exist at the time, but he...
Well, Tony Khan was at the event. He was wheeling and dealing. He was getting everything together.
Yeah. Sure. I know. Hindsight, right? Tiffany Haddish is... Why is she here?
They want celebrities. I think she has a thing with Peacock. Mario Lopez has a thing with Peacock. Access Hollywood and Saved by the Bell. Like, Tiffany Haddish is going to have a show on Peacock too.
So. Oh, that's why. Okay, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Tiffany Haddish is back there, and she's interviewing Damian Priest about his victory. And Damian Priest, he just arrived to America, guys, because his promo is all about how America is the land of opportunity. I was like, yo, isn't this guy from fucking New York? What the fuck is
he? Yeah, he even says in the book, he's more, like, he made it to like New York, like a third world country. Also, this was
say that there's not the land of opportunity anymore, but I'm proof that the land.
What the fuck is this guy talking about? Tiffany Haddish, and then she called him the national champion too. Like, dude, this was horrible. This destroyed Damian Priest. He looked. Oh,
God.
This was so, another thing where it's like, how did you see how organic and awesome the CM Punk thing was? And you put this out. You write this script for Damian. It would be better if Damian Priest went out there and just started like rubbing his cock to Tiffany Haddish. Like, that would have been hey, bitch. Like, anything would have been better than this. I was born in New York, you know, a little shitty town, but I came up. I'm proof that, like, what do you, dude, you're born in New York City, the richest city in the world. How did you come up from anything?
Junior is going through this kick where he's going backwards, where in what he's doing, and that he's going back to doing ethnic gimmicks, right? Apollo Crews is a Nigerian. Fucking Shane, what's his name? Fucking Drew McIntyre's Scottish Warrior. And then I think when he's like, well, Damian Priest is Puerto Rican. Puerto Ricans are coming to America to try to get opportunities. I mean, like, someone's like,
I hate it. This promo.
You know, Puerto Rico's part of America.
Dude, he's like, fucking, you know, in NXT, he's in hot tubs with women. And now he's like, oh, I was poor. Let's move on. This was horrible. I was like so angry. I was just, I just want to be, if I was Damian Priest, I'd be like, did you just see what happened last night? Why do you have me saying these things? Literally have me say anything else. Literally have me call for the ban on abortions. Have me say anything else but what you wrote. Like, I mean, come on.
You know, but they are really doing that. They're going back to like all these ethnic gimmicks. They really are. If you look at
like, they're not even going back to the 80s. They're going back to like the 70s.
Yeah. Because they turned Drew McIntyre into like a Scottish people. Like, they're warriors. They're like Braveheart. He turned into a fucking Braveheart character.
Yeah.
They're all turning into like ethnic characters, you know?
Yeah.
And okay, some of it working. Yeah. Rick Boogs comes out to introduce Nakamura. And I'm like, dear Lord, there's fucking 11 matches tonight. And
I love Boogs.
Surprise match.
Why was this here?
No, but like, I was thinking, I was like, dude, they added a surprise 12 match, and I was so mad, but it wasn't a match. They just danced, and that was it. There was no need for this fucking thing there, except for just to say that here's this guy, Rick Boogs, check him out, basically, really. It was a waste of time.
It was horrible.
Then this, I thought this was the worst. We all know Sasha Banks. Wait, was Sasha Banks? Let me ask you a question. Sasha Banks not gonna be there tonight. Was that like announced publicly?
No. Oh. It was not put. Dude, they on the pre-show they act like the match was happening. They had the video. They made us and the crowd sit through the fucking video package, knowing she wasn't gonna be there.
They did.
There is very so much package. There is so much wrong with everything we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
And because they had me when Becky Lynch walked out, I was like, yes.
And oh, wait, then... jump the gun. Let's talk through the whole thing. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to summarize it. I'll let you get into it. They show you a very fucking long Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks.
Super long video package.
I mean, we're talking about their feud building up to WrestleMania, them winning the fucking ESPYs together, and then the current storyline. There's this whole freaking long, dude. It was so long that I actually thought, oh, maybe Sasha Banks is actually wrestling tonight.
I was like, this is fucking ballsy if she's not there.
Yeah. So match number five, Belair is in the ring, and their ring announcer goes, Sasha Banks is not able to compete tonight. Yeah, she's not here. And then she goes, here's a replacement. It's fucking Carmella. People are fucking pissed the fuck off. They're standing in the ring. Everyone, you could tell, you could hear the grumbling. Like, the audience is fucking annoyed. When all of a sudden Becky's music hits, the fucking place blows up.
It's just as loud as Punk.
Comes out. This is the first moment tonight that I'm just like, holy shit, let me stop fucking shopping online. Let me put this on a full screen and watch this. She comes out, goes to the ring. She beats the shit out of Carmella, kicks her out, looks at fucking Belair. Let's do this. And they go, boom, 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 ring, ding, 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 ring the bell. It is Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch. I think first time ever. Right?
Yes, they've never even been on screen together. Yeah.
Crowd is going ape shit. Becky hits her with like a fucking back elbow and then hits her with the manhandle slam, which is the Uranagi. And 1-2-3, match is over in less than a minute. People do pop, but then there is this weird realization of what just happened that starts settling in. Mm-hmm. Becky Lynch beat Bianca Belair in less than a minute. And she's celebrating in a ring. And then as Bianca's leaving and you see her almost at the entrance way, she's fucking teary-eyed.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you think about this whole fiasco?
There is so much to break down about this. That is wrong. There is so much. First of all, I want to talk about what Tony Khan did with CM Punk. And yes. I called you today to talk about this. So Tony Khan essentially used the wrestling media to promote the event.
That's a good way. Without
ever promoting the event.
Good. That's a good reference. That's a good point.
He leaked to them. I Sean Ross Sapp actually he broke the story. He didn't break. They're all in on it. He leaked to Sean Ross Sapp. We got CM Punk. They reported as that. Then he announced the first dance. And, you know, you theoretically, if CM Punk didn't come out last night, let's just pretend it was just those three matches, right? Tony Khan could go on TV today and be like, I never said CM Punk was coming out. I'd star first dance in Chicago. But no, he played into the fact that we're all on Twitter. We all want to be like fucking insiders. And he sold the place out without ever saying he had Punk. And then Punk came out. He used the media. He knows people fucking go on Square Circle Reddit. He knows... And he fucking played everybody, and he a huge success. WWE does the exact opposite. For a week now, they've been saying Sasha Banks has COVID. They don't acknowledge it. They keep promoting this match up until literally 20 seconds before the guy goes, Sasha Banks isn't here. They keep promoting this fucking match. You're treating the customers like fucking idiots. You're treating them like a fucking idiot. Yes. And that would have been fine. That would have been fine if the replacement was great. Here's what happened, though. I guarantee you, Becky Lynch was not supposed to come back to me. I don't think she was ready to come back. I think Sasha told them she had COVID or what the fuck is going on with her. They were like, fuck, what do we do? They called Becky Lynch. She's like, I'm really not ready. I don't think I can have a match. Like, we'll make it a squash. We'll make it a squash. And she, all right, I'll come back. And I can hit those two moves. Because even when she hit the Uranagi, it didn't look good. She's not ready to come back. But they panicked, so they made her come back. When she came out, she had a pop like CM Punk. And I'm like, the only person they have that can compete against CM Punk is Becky Lynch. She is just so over. People love her. People believe in her. And then they ruined that 20 seconds in by having her squash Bianca Belair and taking the belt. People really connected to that match at WrestleMania. People really have connected to Bianca Belair. And did you just leave? You just left.
No, I'm listening. I just
think and you now have ruined, within 30 seconds, you've ruined Bianca Belair, you've ruined Becky Lynch, you've soured everyone on her. It was just shocking how much they did wrong, how they lied to everyone, how they promoted. And you could tell everyone in that arena was 90% of them were there for that match. That match so got people in the building. Sasha Banks, Bianca, right? Because you could tell people were livid. And you made it up with Becky, but then you ruined it by making Bianca look like a fucking idiot. This is like in 88, SummerSlam 88, where the Warrior squashes Macho Man Randy Savage instead of fucking Honky Tonk Man. It would be like...
Let me actually jump in here, okay? For a bit. Wait, has it been confirmed that Sasha Banks has COVID?
That's what I'm thinking. That's the only reason.
Okay. Technically, it hasn't been confirmed, right?
No.
I had a thought in my head while I was watching this whole thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's possible that Becky Lynch was always supposed to come out tonight and they presented the idea of what they have to both women? She's going to come in. Before the match begins between Sasha and
Belair. No, I know. Because
hold on, let me finish. Okay. Let me finish. Come on, man. Becky comes in and she's going to beat the shit out of you, Sasha Banks, throw you out, and then she's going to squash fucking Belair. And do you think Sasha was like, no, fuck this. I don't want to be a part of this. And they were just like, all right, then fucking go home. Okay.
No, because Sasha Banks after Friday was never seen again. Both house shows this over the weekend. They were supposed to be on the card, and they just didn't have the match. Neither women were there. She was not on SmackDown. She was not. No, I don't think that's it. I think that they were. I think that they panicked. They don't want to say that they have an outbreak, because I think Nevada would have freaked out about having the event.
But do they have an outbreak? It's only one person so far.
How do you know?
I mean, everybody else is on the fucking show tonight.
Everybody that appears on SmackDown?
So what are you talking about? Because Otis was there Friday. He was there last night.
But I mean, like, I'm saying, like, maybe other
people. If there's an outbreak, that's got to be more than one fucking person. So who else
is gone? We don't know. She might have gave the people backstage, dude. We don't know. Okay. There's, like, hundreds of people working here.
No. Of course we don't know. But that's why I'm asking. So if you're saying.
Bob the caterer could have got.
Please let me finish. If there's an outbreak, as you claim, right? If there's an outbreak, there needs to be some evidence of other people not fucking showing up.
It could be people that we don't see on camera.
Okay.
There's hundreds of people that aren't on camera that are there that she interacts with.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she probably doesn't go near fucking Dominic Mysterio during her day, but she goes near makeup artists and writers and fucking cameramen. And
other wrestlers, but nobody else got it.
I don't know. Look,
I'm not saying it's not an outbreak.
What else could it be?
I think my scenario is legit too. Let me ask you a question. She's had a history of being a fucking person who likes to grab a ball and go home, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we know that they didn't present this idea to her weeks in advance, both of them, right? And Sasha Banks was like, no, I don't want to fucking do that. It's going to make us look stupid. They were like, all right, then fine. We're not going to fucking have, don't come to the fucking house shows. Just fucking stay home for now. That's possible.
No, I don't think that's it. They want to keep promoting.
Why is that not possible?
Because, dude, this was a match that they were selling. They already had the match at WrestleMania. They're having the return. They know people want to see the match. They're not gonna have the match. They might have at the end when Sasha loses or wins or whatever, they might have Becky Lynch then beat her up after, but they were going to have the match. I think there was something happened where they couldn't have the match and they didn't want anyone to know.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
Or
they're not going to, or they're pretty Sasha stupid.
Pregnant.
That's what?
Possible. Or Sasha Banks.
Not with that husband.
Here's one thing that WWE does. They book, the way they book is much different than AEW, and this is the reason why they do it. They are into the, they're not into the fucking building of fucking getting your anticipation ready. They think it's a bigger reaction if they fucking swerve you.
But you remember what Bruce Pritchard on his podcast has always said, Vince has always said, get the match in the ring. So if you're promoting a match and you know it won the ESPYs, it got all this, you're going to at least want to have that match go for 5-10 minutes before you bring out Becky Lynch or something. You're going to want to at least give people the match. There has to be a reason why Sasha Banks could not be even be in the building since Friday. And COVID's the only reason I can think.
There could be a couple of reasons. We don't know 100%. What I'm trying to say is WWE's
can I just, don't give me that look.
You keep interrupting me.
No, but my whole point is the wrestling media has basically said she's had COVID for a week now, right?
No, I don't give a shit about that. I'm not even talking about that anymore. I don't give a shit about that anymore.
I'm trying to make a fucking point. Can I make my fucking point before you go, I don't give a shit about that? My whole point was Tony Khan leaned into the fucking media and gained goodwill and an amazing segment. They like to ignore the fucking media. If we all know, if the rumor's out there that she's sick, just fucking address it on SmackDown last night. Don't keep promoting this match.
If you had let me finish talking, you would see that I was agreeing with you.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain, but, So what I was trying to say is I think Junior is into that fucking, he thinks when you pop because he swerved you, is bigger than a build-up pop. Like, I agree with you saying. If they knew she wasn't going to do it, they should have been, the way they should have done this was Sasha Banks is out of this match, like early, as soon as they knew it, goes, she is going to have, there's going to be a mystery opponent for fucking Belair. And then just drop subtle hints the way fucking AEW did, build it up. But I think in WWE's mind, they think it's, if you are expecting A and they give you C out of nowhere, like your reaction, like the whole like, oh shit, I wasn't expecting this. They think that's bigger. That's why
they always want, the Bruce Pritchard always says, the replacement always has to be bigger than the person who canceled. Here's the other reason why I think they kept promoting it. They didn't say anything. I don't think they wanted Nevada, because right now it's banned in Nevada, COVID. Mm-hmm. I don't think they wanted Nevada to know that one of the stars had COVID, because the government then might get involved.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying she 100% doesn't have COVID. I don't fucking know her. I don't work back there, so I don't know either.
But what I'm saying is, I think the reason why they kept promoting the match up until the very last second was they didn't want to publicly give off a whiff that she might be sick, because I don't think they didn't want Nevada to freak out.
Yeah, we get that.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, what I'm trying to make a point is that don't think that I think that she absolutely doesn't have COVID. That's not what I'm trying to say, because it's possible. She's anti-vax. It makes sense if everybody else is vaccinated that she's the only one who has it. But what I'm just trying to say is, I'm not a fucking Dave Meltzer, meaning that if I don't know something, I'm just going to automatically say it's fucking true from hearing about it. Like, that's what he does. He goes, oh, someone told me this, so it must be true. No, that's where that stupidity happens, where you don't know, but you act like it's 100% true when it's just hearsay. And that's what I'm trying to get at. You don't know, so I'm not going to act like it's 100%.
But a lot of your assumptions are Vince is an asshole, and he is an asshole.
Yeah.
He's an asshole in a different way. I think if Sasha Banks was healthy, they would have had the match. At the end of the match, when whoever won, whether it's Bianca or Sasha, would Becky Lynch have come out and beat the winner up? Sure. But I think they were going to have this match. If they could.
Becky versus Belair?
No, Sasha versus Bianca.
I think they probably
They were not gonna have Becky walk out, beat up Sasha, and have a squash match with Bianca. I think they only asked Becky to return this week because they were freaked out.
My theory is that they were building up to Belair and Bianca. If it's not COVID or any other medical issue, like she's not pregnant, she's pregnant. If it's not that she's not pregnant or any kind of medical issue, my only other idea or theory, remember, this is just a theory, is that they're building up to Bel Air and Sasha Banks when they caught a whiff that they have that AEW has CM Punk. WWE was like, dude, we gotta fucking do something. Fucking bring back Becky, and she's gonna fucking squash her and fucking bring it. It's gonna surprise everybody. And I think they were like, what the fuck are you doing? They were probably like, get the fuck out of here. I don't wanna fucking be a part of this. Whereas in Bel Air was probably like, you guys are the boss. I'll fucking do what you guys want to do.
No, I don't think that's, no.
That's just a theory. It's a theory.
Then why wasn't like Sasha at the house shows? They didn't know how good.
Just like COVID, her having COVID is a theory. It's the same.
I think they were gonna have this match no matter what. You don't seem to be comprehending.
Yeah, because it's a draw. Theory. Let me ask you a question. Are you back? Do you work backstage?
No, but I don't think you always base your things on Vince wants to fuck everybody, including the customers. And I think he does want to fuck us, but he wants to give you the match and then fuck you in the finish of the match. He wants to put the match in the ring. So you'd be like, I advertise an attraction and you're getting the attraction. That's the thing. That's what you'd not seem to comprend. I think the only reason.
I don't think 100%
is because Sasha Banks is sick and they panicked. It's not because they had this idea a week ago and Sasha was like, no! No, that's not it.
Okay. Well,
I think they would have had the match. The match would have been long. And then let's say Sasha wins, right? Let's say Sasha wins. Then Becky Lynch comes out and beats up Sasha, goes, I'm back. But they would have had the match.
Okay, whatever. Let's talk about what this does, though. The effect of this.
It ruins Becky Lynch.
No. I think it ruined someone way more worse than her. We're talking about Belair. What they did to fucking Bianca Belair. Mm-hmm. So, as I explained, it's Becky Lynch. She's one of the biggest stars they have right now. So when she won, there is an initial huge reaction. Mm-hmm. But then I think once people get over that ecstasy, they start realizing, wait a minute, she just squashed this up-and-coming star that we've been really getting behind, like treated her like garbage. And that realization hits and it starts getting quieter.
Mm-hmm.
I think doing this to Belair was fucking not a good idea. It was really bad idea.
Well, because Becky comes out and I think right before COVID hit, that whole 2018 to 20, the 2 years where she was the man, people had it like Becky's our hero. She's not Vince's puppet.
She is the hero of the people.
She's one of us.
She's like CM Punk.
Yes. Like, and then when she squashed Bianca, it's like, oh, you're Roman, you're Seth, you're Edge. You're another one of Vince's puppets.
Oh, no, you're not actually one of the people that we chose. You're actually one of those guys. You're a corporate person. At the end of the day, you're a corporate person. You know what? When they presented this idea to her, she's got enough pull to be like, no, wait, I can't fucking squash her. You know, like she's got enough pull to say that, Becky.
Maybe the promise is, this is the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I agree with you. This did not make Becky look good either.
This is what they should have done. They should have had Bianca. They should have rang the bell. Bianca squashes Charlotte within seconds, right? Throws her out of the ring, and it's like, this is ridiculous. I wanted Sasha Banks. I don't understand why she's not here. And then I can't believe. And then have Becky come out. Becky and her get in the ring, and Becky's like, at Extreme Rules, I'll see you in 4 weeks. I'm coming for your belt. And then you set up 4 weeks from now, Extreme Rules, Becky and Bianca.
Yeah, I don't know why they did it like this. I think they were trying to go for the wow factor.
I think Becky is going to lose to Bianca with it by November.
That's possible. Yeah, that's possible.
I'm going to return the favors. I'm going to lose to you. So
Survivor Series?
I think by Survivor Series.
Yeah, Survivor Series. The next big one, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's nice that Becky's back. It was a weird...
They ruined Dude. She was CM Punk, and then she became Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
It was impressive. I'm just imagining like if AEW wanted to ruin CM Punk that fast, it would be like Luther would have to have attacked CM Punk in the aisle, made him tap out and beg for mercy, and leave him laying and bloody and have him get carried away in an ambulance. That's the only way that they could have ruined CM Punk as fast as they ruined Becky Lynch.
Or he just, I don't know, he's got to beat their up-and-coming guys like a squash.
Or like CM Punk calls out Kenny Omega and squashes him in 3 seconds. Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Becky can recover from this, and I actually think Belair can still recover from this because, to be honest, WWE audience, they have a very short attention span, so I'm pretty sure they can recover from this.
I mean, look at
Apollo Crews. He recovered from a lot of fucking shit. All you need is a fucking good angle, a good gimmick to fucking recover from it. And I don't think it's the end of the day for both of them, but it was not good. Belair was teary-eyed at the end. Like, she knew she got the dirty, I think. But whatever. It is what it is. What was the point of fucking building her up for a fucking year if you were going to do this? What the fuck are you doing?
I blame Sasha because she doesn't believe in the vaccine.
Liv Morgan is also not there. She could have it. Dana Brooke. She ain't there. I haven't seen those two in a while.
I think Dana Brooke also doesn't believe in the vaccine. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on to the next thing.
Cool. Bailey. I haven't seen Bailey.
Bailey was injured. Remember? She's like...
Yeah, but wasn't she still doing like commentary every once in a while?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Tamira Mensah Stock and Gable Steveson, both gold medalists from the Olympics, they show up. They go to the ring, and Tamira starts going backflip to Gable so that he could backflip, and the crowd starts getting into it, and then they fucking cut away. So stupid. All right, it is what it is. No mention of whether or not they're signed or not. They just honored them. So technically, they're not signed yet. Match number 6, Jinder versus Drew. Drew hits the Claymore for the clean victory. Afterwards, the Hindu goons come into the ring and fucking Drew swings his sword. It's like the first time he's learned. I think it's the first time he's ever swung a sword because it was terrible. Okay. And they run away. Just
horrible. This was horrible. It was a wrong, Drew experiment is over. Also, like, why give him the sword? We know he's never going to use it. We know he's like never going to connect because that would mean murder. That would mean he would murder his opponent. So why even
Scottish? That's why. Anyway, it's stupid, Charlie. Yeah, I get it. But why does horrible. Dude? Why does fucking Apollo Crews as a spear?
I know. They're not going to actually ever connect.
Yeah, I know. It's
by God, Drew McIntyre murdered.
Wait, what other ethnic person can you give somebody something? Didn't they give Tozawa nunchucks for a bit? I could have sworn he had nunchucks.
Give the Russian guy a sickle, a Russian sickle.
What's a Puerto Rican thing?
Switchblade.
Oh yeah, give
him Jay White. Have him swing around.
Dave, give Priest a switchblade.
No, he actually like carries Jay White like as a weapon and swings him around.
Give Sheamus a he used to carry. No, that was Finley. Finley
carried the shillelagh. All right, let's
give a shillelagh back. Give it to Sheamus. This is so fucking funny to me. All right, match number 7. Nikki A.S.H. versus Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte for the Raw Women's title. To me, this was a fucking sloppy no-selling match. There's a lot of sloppiness in this, meaning there's a lot of fucking like kicks that don't fucking hit anything. They fucking like a lot of botches, a lot of no-selling. Charlotte ends up hitting the figure 8 on Nikki, who taps out. Charlotte is now your, 11th or 12th or
13th. Who cares?
I don't know. All her reigns are short. Recent ones, at least. The last one she had right before this, she was a champion for one day. Remember? That counts as a reign. You know? It's ridiculous. So, Charlotte is not a champion. I didn't like this match.
I hated it. The one thing they had to do in this match was have Nikki A.S.H. go home because everyone's kind of written off as a goof. You kind of have to give the perception that the company's behind her. She looked great. Like after she cashed in the belt, they'd gone either way to make her look stupid. The announcers were burying her on the commentary. It was like, dude, why did you? It was like everything that people were afraid of that you were going to do to her, you've done to her. You made her tap. Rhea Ripley look like a fucking idiot. Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H., like, they should be the ones, especially Rhea Ripley. You've done so much damage to her. So much damage. It is unbelievable the amount of damage you've done to Rhea Ripley since WrestleMania. It's unbelievable. And Charlotte, she shouldn't be beating these two women at Domino. It just boggles my mind how fucking dumb they are. Again, you make your two good guys look like fucking idiots.
Yeah, because there was no buffoonery. There was a clean victory. It was clean tap out.
Horrible. Yeah. Horrible booking. You have... it is shocking to me how bad they ruined Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. All you had to do was have Nikki A.S.H. pin Charlotte. Charlotte's going to recover from that. All you had to do was have Nikki A.S.H. win. That's all you had to do. And you couldn't even do that. They just couldn't. It was like, what's the point? It was fucking hard. I hated this match.
Yeah. So, yeah, Charlotte's your new women's champion. We're going to go to match number 8. Edge versus Seth Rollins. Edge comes out with the full Brood gimmick entrance where he comes out of the fucking flames. They do the music. But then it changes into his current theme. That was kind of cool. And this was probably the most nostalgic match of the night. Edge doing a whole bunch of his old moves, like the execution, educator. He even does Beth Phoenix, her glam slam move, which is kind of a cool spot. There's another really cool spot where Edge tries to go for a spear, and then Seth Rollins turns it into a fucking pedigree. I thought that was fucking cool looking. Ultimately, Edge puts Seth Rollins in it looked like a fucking an arm trap sleeper, and Seth Rollins taps out. I'm guessing this is going to be Edge's new move because he's like, dude, I can't do the spear anymore. That shit hurts. he's getting old. He's like, dude, that shit hurts my shoulder. I can't do this shit anymore. You know, because that's what happened.
This match, the finish was good. I couldn't get into it.
What I said, I couldn't get into a single one of these matches, but I did enjoy this match the most because it did have those like nostalgic things that
I was doing. You know? I don't know. I thought this was gonna be my favorite. Before the show, I was like, "Oh, this is probably gonna be the best match." The one, and it told the story, but I don't know. There's just something. Seth Rollins, when he was walking to the ring, he just looked so manufactured. It was fine. I just couldn't get into it. I'm glad Edge finally won a match on paper.
Yeah. And, you know, Seth can recover from this, you know, so.
No, he can. Yes, that's why it was good for him to lose.
Yeah. Now comes what I think was probably the dumbest fucking thing of the show. Miz and Morrison, they're in the ring and they're like, we want our Dripstick 2000. It's called Dripstick 2000 because that's where this comedy segment is from. It's from the year 2000.
No, they had better writing in 2000.
Yeah, it is awful. It is not funny. Xavier Woods comes in dressed like Razor Ramon, and he's got Nestle's Pure Life water tank, and he sprays them down. It's a product tie-in. I'm sure they're going to get $1 million for this. You know, that's probably it's like the fucking zombie match. They're getting probably money for it. That's why they're doing this shit, you know, promoting a product. But it was really fucking bad. It shit wasn't funny. It was a waste of time.
It was horrible. I will say this. The Miz, I think no matter how bad the idea is, the Miz commits to it. Like you could tell the Miz, I need you to go out there. I need you to go out there and advocate for rape to be legal. And he will commit to the script. Rape should be legal. And here's why. Women, do they have rights? What do you think, Johnny Drip Drip? No, they do not. Correct. Like, he will just commit to, no matter how horrible the idea is, he just goes ahead with it.
I think Miz is going to have a job for life with them.
Yeah, because he just...
100%.
I almost want to play a game. If I was a writer for WWE, I'd play a game where we come up with horrible things for Miz to say and see if he ever complains or, like, half-asses it. Like... He just, oh, but like, this was horrible. This was, I can't stress how bad this was. And again, it's another segment that's like, how could you put this on after last night? How?
Yeah. Match number 9, Lashley versus Goldberg for the Raw men's title. People are fucking cheering Lashley and they're booing Goldberg in this match, which I thought was really interesting. They do this thing where MVP took a shillelagh and he hit fucking Goldberg in the left knee with it. And Lashley's working on the left knee. Goldberg can't go anymore, so ref stops the match. Afterwards, Lashley gets a chair and starts working on the knee. So Gage, Goldberg's son, jumps on Lashley's back. So Lashley throws him over and puts him in the hurt lock. MVP's like, dude, what are you doing? It's a fucking kid. He's a fucking sophomore in high school. What are you doing? Get him off. And then he goes, goes to Mike and he goes, hey, man, that could have been anybody. He didn't know it was a kid. So senior champion to the winner, Lashley. And Goldberg's like, my son. So I feel like this is not over.
I don't think it's over.
Oh, my God.
I will say this.
Wrestle, right?
I will give Goldberg credit that he did attempt to have a different match than he usually has. He tried to like actually have a match and tell a story. Like, I think he really wants to say to people, I can have matches. Like, I can do this. Like, and I'm going to do it. And it's tough. I feel bad for him because he's trying to prove this in his 50s. You know what I mean? Like, he's trying to prove, like, but he really should just be spear and jackhammer. I do think, and I've thought this since the kid walked out, I think they have major, I'm talking years and years of plans for this kid. The fact that he's 15.
If he doesn't fail.
Yeah. They're going to give him every advantage. I think the fact that if they let him at 15 get physical was wild to me. But I think they have. I'm thinking like, I'm talking like Vince has it in his head that when this kid's 25, he's going to be main event in WrestleMania. Like
this is leading up to a MVP and Lashley versus Goldberg and Gage match.
They should give Gage the belt.
They're going to do something like this. I feel like they're going to do it. And I don't like.
Maybe it could be possible. Yeah. It could be possible that Gage in the ring is like a child prodigy. Like, maybe there's something that we don't know. Like,
yeah, Gage can absolutely actually wrestle. It's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
And because the kid's big.
For a 16-year-old, he's very big. Yeah.
I think they have a plan with this kid. And they are going to commit to it. I really do think, like, when I saw the kid.
You know, we talk about AEW's nepotism, but there's fucking nepotism in WWE as well.
Mm-hmm. They've got something cooking with this kid. They've got like a plan. That's why like the matches, the story's continuing.
Man, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this because
he's so young.
Dominic is a good example. He got it fucking exposed. He ain't that fucking good. In the beginning was because he was in the room fucking Seth and they probably went over that match over and over and over again.
I could see like if this kid, I'm assuming this kid's a good athlete, which is why they're have him on fucking TV. Because you don't just shove a kid on TV. Like, they're not shoving Shane's sons, I think, are like sick of the same age. They're not shoving them on to get beat up. Although, give them another.
Because Junior says the son of a failure is still a failure.
I know, right? Yeah. If he's pissed that Triple H and Steph didn't have any men. If Steph and Triple H had a son, he'd be getting beat up by fucking Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
Well, my whole point is they've never had someone this young physical, which is why I think the kid must be a really good athlete for them to do this that we don't know about. There's something this kid can do that we don't know about, because why would you have a 15-year-old get beat up unless you have some sort of...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why I feel like they're going to lead to a tag team.
But match, I think he might be better than Dominic.
I hope so, because Dominic is like a fucking out of shape, like... Slow in the fucking ring, like,
dude. He was so bad today.
He's like, he's Botchamania. He's basically.
I saw it today. He's not good.
Yeah, he's not good, dude. I'm telling you, he was only good because Seth made him look good, and everything else fucking sucked, bro.
And the Usos
out of shape. He can't like act. I hate to say it, like, even in the backstage segment, he's just fucking terrible.
Well, they haven't really given... Let's see what happens. I feel like they're going to build him turning heel soon. Let's see what happens when he turns heel. Because his one...
way too early for him to be on TV.
His whole... but, like, remember, every week, the only sketch he has is concern for his dad. They never give him anything to actually do. He's always like, Dad, are you okay? It's literally every week. Dad, are you okay? Like, his dad gets beat up. Oh, no, Dad, are you okay? Like, that's literally all he says.
Yeah, I bet you they're like, all right, Dominic, this time you got to really sell it. All right.
Dad! All right, last week,
until you get this right, we're not fucking stopping this.
I know, that's all he does every week is, Dad, are you okay? So
He shouldn't be on our TV. You know, now I'll be honest with you, he shouldn't be on fucking TV. Because now, this is why. Because he stinks, no matter how good he gets, in my mind, I have stinky fucking Dominic.
Well, that's the thing with Brock Anderson.
Yeah, that's why. Let's see what happens with Brock Anderson. If he, no, how about this? If he just gets fucking jobbed out right away by Malakai Black, that's okay. He's just going to take a kick to the face and that's it. Take a cut, take a pin. I have no problem with that. You had no offense, you know?
You know what they should do? They should have Eric Watts come back and form a legion of shitty sons.
Yeah. Now, if Brock Anderson
and takes Dominic. A
kick to the face by Malakai, but sells it really bad, like he goes like,
ah! Like, then, he should make that noise.
Yeah, then yeah, that's going to ruin him too.
Malakai, my dad's the enforcer.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this Gage thing at all, but whatever. It's whatever. Goldberg's here to stay. Match number 10, Cena versus Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns hits the spear for the win, and as soon as he's fucking raising the bell to celebrate, Brock Lesnar's music hit. Crowd goes ape shit. Brock's out with his nice new little ponytail. He gets into the ring, faces off against Roman, and then Roman just goes, I'm leaving, and he leaves. Not today, not today. And then Brock stands there. I said last night's Rampage was anticlimactic at the end. This was way more anticlimactic at the end.
Well, you know, I kind of thought the reason why they had Roman go, like, I'm going to leave if I lose, was they were actually going to have him lose and he wanted to take another break. I don't even know why you added that stipulation.
Yeah,
but like we all knew Cena was gonna lose, and they just kind of they did it, and I'm like, I wish you guys like did I don't know I wish you were kind of unpredictable. Here's the thing with Brock Lesnar coming out, you've played all your cards down. You don't have another surprise, short of
you did Becky and you did Brock Lesnar dying.
Yeah, and Cena was a few months ago, and Goldberg, and Gage, and all the stars, Sasha like. You don't have anything else up your sleeve short of fucking, I don't know, Lita making a comeback. Or you sign AJ Lee. Or you sign Daniel Bryan.
Or you re-sign Brock, what's his name, Braun Strowman? I don't know.
No. You don't have any more surprises. And
what if they re-sign Daniel Bryan?
They should.
Yeah. Let's just say... I don't know if he's signed right now, right? I mean, AEW, right?
Well, if I was Vince, this morning I would have called Daniel Bryan and been like, can we talk again? Mm-hmm. Like, I know you want New Japan. That's off the table. But what can I offer you that would be as good as that? Like, what? Let's talk. Let's meet. Because I don't want you in AEW. I want you here. Like, I want you here for the rest of your
life. Take off the clothes and says, do you want to resign now? Like, how about now, baby?
Yeah, I feel like they need to, like, I feel like they need to, Bray Wyatt, for a reason, they don't like him. They just fired him 3 weeks ago, but they need, they want to keep Daniel Bryan. I think they need to do whatever they can to get him back.
A couple of months ago, were you the one who said you think they're trying to sell the company?
That's what I hear from a lot of people, yeah.
Okay. So, like yesterday or today or sometime this week, Nick Khan.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
Do you think like they really are getting ready to sell this company and they're bringing all these stars back to like really bolster up their fucking portfolio? Like, look at this. Look how many stars we got. This is how much we're worth. Just put out all the cards on the table now because they're like, we're going to fucking sell this company.
Um,
Why would you say we're open to selling this company? Like, unless you fucking really mean it, you know? Why would you Yeah.
You say that because Vince could get a Dana White deal where Vince is still in charge, but he's making serious bank. You'd always want to entertain offers. I mean, if Walt Disney calls up Vince McMahon and goes like, hey, we want to give you, you know, $10 billion for the WWE, that's a conversation you're going to want to have. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's I mean, I'm just making up a figure.
No, of course. Yeah. You
would, but you're going to like, you're going to, if there's somebody out there that wants to give you a few billion dollars, I mean, he is in his 70s. You're going to want to at least entertain that conversation.
Yes, absolutely.
It'd be stupid not to go and be like, all right, I think actually I should get 11 billion. We agree. I would take the fucking 11 billion. I don't know. Well, go, take it. But yeah, I think that's the reason they put it out there, to see if anyone does have that money. Because, hey, you know what? It's great that, you know, it's his company and it's great that he's making all these deals, but maybe he can cash out and walk home with $5 billion for him and his family.
Yeah. I don't know if they put all their cards on tonight's table as a response to Punk, or as if it's...
I think Brock was a response to Punk.
I mean, CM Punk.
He looked like he was taking a nap, and they like had a car pull up in front of his house, but like, get in.
Yeah.
You know who was the best of that segment? The best of that whole was Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman's reactions to Brock coming out, because he was so, like, oh no! Like, he was like, fuck, I'm fucked. Cause...
I thought Roman had the best reaction initially.
But I love, like, Paul. Paul was doing, because Paul's like, oh, I'm in so much trouble because I'm supposed to be Brock.
Acting, I find super hokey.
I liked it here. I thought it was good.
His acting is like so acting.
I do think though, I do think though, they need to have Paul go back to Brock.
I'm doing the Paul Bear, but without the fucking funny voice.
I can't see like Paul Heyman against Brock. I do think they need to have Paul. Paul and Brock just go together. He just goes together. Roman doesn't really need Paul.
It's Paul Heyman on a pole match.
Yeah, there you go. That instead of for the title.
Yeah.
But
if this show was a response to CM Punk last night, fucked. Number one, it's a big compliment to CM Punk. Number two, they are fucked. And number three, where do you go from here? Like, what do you do?
Okay. Becky and Bianca.
Your rematch? I have no idea.
But also, you know, COVID. Is still
shit. You can't even bring anybody up from NXT that would be like a bigger reaction than this.
Adam Cole, if he
fucking sign?
Oh, you know, it was great too. And I could tell somebody said something to him because he trailed off when they were promoting NXT tomorrow night. He goes, I can't wait to see Adam Cole lose again. Pat McCaffrey, like, keeping up with his hatred of Adam Cole. And then, like, when he said again, he trailed off. I think somebody goes, like, don't mention that, you know, you're like.
Yeah.
But like, I love the fact that like he still hates Adam Cole. Dude, I think if Adam Cole shows up in AEW, they should have Pat McCaffrey be like, I chased that coward out of here. You see him on the other show? I'm so glad he's gone. The air smells better. Like,
some time to acknowledge Pat McAfee. He is very good on commentary.
He also said, I can't believe I'm watching a teenager get beat up.
he is really good on commentary. I really like him on commentary.
I like the fact that he keeps the character that I don't like Adam Cole. I like the fact that he keeps that going even on a show that's not about Adam Cole. So many other people like remember when Michael Cole hated Daniel Bryan and then he just forgot about it.
Other commentators, they forgo continuity. They don't care about continuity.
I think he should, even if Adam Cole goes to AEW, he should constantly bring it up. At least, like, let's say Adam Cole wins the AEW title. At least our champion's not a loser like Adam Cole. Like, he should just keep going in on Adam Cole. Even after Adam, I think that'd be the funniest fucking thing. You never do. And, like, just keep playing this angle with Adam Cole. Like, Adam Cole becomes, like, the biggest star in the world. Oh, the world sucks. Adam Cole's a bigger wrestler than anyone. Like, just fuck, keep going. I think that'd be great.
I really like Pat McAfee on commentary. I love it. He called... Him and Cole were calling the second half of SummerSlam. I think the first half was like fucking Raw team.
Yeah, they did. They kind of did the Raw matches to start.
Yeah, they were. They did really well on. He does really well on commentary. I think that's it. I mean,
that's it.
They could re-sign Bray Wyatt.
No, Bray Wyatt's got to go to AEW. He's got to. I think he's. I think if you're Daniel Bryan, if you're Adam Cole, if you're Bray Wyatt, and if you're Braun Strowman, and Buddy Murphy, and Ruby Solo, and a few other, and you saw last night, I think you should do everything in your power to go there. But by the same token, Vince should do everything he can to get them back.
Yeah, because you know, like you're right, because they could just be like, "What if we offer you this much money?" It's like, "Oh shit, I don't know," right?
But
like, it's hard when somebody's offering you a lot of money to make the.
But rights. I would say what I would say to Bray and Braun and Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan is that like, this is a once in a lifetime momentum. You need to ride it, and I think if what I'm thinking is correct, this could mean more money for you than you've ever dreamed at the end of this. But you gotta catch it now. You gotta catch it now. Like you've gotta enjoy the wave that started yesterday. If they bring in Bray, if they bring in Daniel Bryan, if they bring in like Braun Red, and Eric Red Rowan, Hart? I'm sorry,
Bret Hart.
No, I said Daniel Bryan.
Oh,
Bray.
Okay.
Oh, if Bray, they bring in Adam Cole, there's going to be such a wave this momentum that I think AEW could. Really, dude, I heard there were so I read a report, and I think this is a really big thing. Warner Media executives were at Rampage, and they were like shocked in the silence at the reaction Punk got. And what if I'm an executive for Warner Media, right? I'm like, this show could be the flagship show. This show could, like, we could do things with this show on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what? You know what they could do with AEW? They could be like, hey, the once you don't have a pay-per-view, we want you to have a live show on HBO Max.
Yeah. Dude, so I watched that debut like 20 times already.
Yeah. Like there's so much, like I guarantee you there were meetings today at Warner Media about last night and about like how can we've landed this amazing fucking organization. What can we do to grow? Because this could result in a ton of money for all of us.
Oh, absolutely.
The brands of Warner
Guys, Media. I think we got something here. Like,
yeah.
I think we really got something here.
And I think if I'm Bray Wyatt and I'm Braun Strowman and I'm Daniel Bryan, I'm Adam Cole, I think it's time to bet on yourself and go there and see what
happens. And I think Time Warner, they bring in Tony Khan. They're like, what can we do to help you? And he probably goes, well, it's like, it's kind of crazy that you asked. Because I'm trying to bring in these guys and I could use a little bit more money. That's always possible, right? Help me.
You know what? Warner Media could say to Cena, you want more seasons, you want more Peacemaker material? Sign with AEW. We're doing a lot of work with you.
Oh, that's true.
In the DC films. If you're with AEW, we could give you more work. Like come part of the family. Use your name. And then what if you do Cena Punk at like fucking Double or Nothing next year? Like there's so many different things that this is open the gate. But I think guys, this is what I would say to Adam Cole. Bet on yourself. Go there. You can always go back.
Dude, you were just a couple days ago going.
Yeah, but guys, before I saw this fucking segment, they could have fucked up this segment.
Just a couple days ago. This guy's a fucking loser.
He is a fucking loser. But now there's momentum. Fucking go there. You can always go back. Dude, but here's the deal. Okay. So CM Punk a year in is like, I don't like AEW. I want to go back. You don't think Vince is going to sit down with him and be like, yes, come back tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So like I'm saying, like you can always go back if this doesn't work out. If Tony Khan turns out to be a fucking retard. But you think 2 years
Well, that's into why AEW, I was saying from the beginning he needs to go to AEW. I'm not sure if he will, but I think he should go there.
No, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, Vince, like, but you need to bet on yourself and see what happens. I think this could be if they ride the momentum of last night, this could be a shift for this company. But they've got to ride the momentum. It's too early to tell. I mean, you know, they could fuck.
They had a great night last night. Mm-hmm. They could always fuck it up, so let's stay the course, make sure they do it. You know what I was saying is gonna happen though? I think for about a whole fucking month, every fucking AEW show is going to be like starting off with the crowd just chanting for CM Punk. Because it was 7 years since he was gone for Chicago, but it's been 7 years since he's been gone for Milwaukee. Oh. 7 years he's been gone for Newark. Every fucking place they have to go to, it's going to be CM Punk. See, he's going to have to start like every fucking show. For like
a month. I think when he's at Arthur Ashe, it's going to be ballistic.
Oh my God, dude. Was that the one you got me tickets for?
Oh, you're bad. Tony Khan said.
Wait, is that the one you got tickets for?
Yeah.
Where are you sitting? Is it far? Is it
Yeah, all the way up. They're only $25, so I said yes.
Hey, you know what? Fucking just being there is going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah, you know what? I like nosebleed seats more than being up close. You can see more. What do I need to... When you're like right in the front, you got to like really...
September 22nd.
Yeah, when you're in the nosebleeds, you just see the entire thing. It's better, I think.
They don't need to do any big reveals at All Out because that's going to sell itself because that's Punk's first wrestling match, right?
You could have one big reveal.
I would save it. I would save the big reveals.
You could have like Buddy Murphy walk out. It's not the end of the world.
I don't know if Buddy Murphy can walk out.
Yeah, he can. By then, yeah. Oh, it's been a while.
July to August. I guess so. He got fired on June 2nd or June 3rd.
Yeah, that's going to be 3 months in September.
I guess, yeah, right at 3 months. Yeah, so, okay, Buddy Murphy maybe coming out is fine, but definitely Daniel Bryan, you save him for the next big event, like big show, like TV show.
Well, right? The rumor is Arthur Ashe.
Yeah, Arthur Ashe is what, Dynamite or Rampage?
It's going to be Dynamite.
Yeah, I would.
But you know what? All this, again, all this might be moot because of COVID.
Yeah, I know. Dude, they fucking lucked out with this fucking CM Punk thing because...
And WWE lucked out.
Yeah, because people were supposed to be wearing their masks and people were like, fuck you. They were like...
Yeah. But I thought SummerSlam was bad. But you know what? Tomorrow night, though, we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
Adam Cole is a big... That's a big deal at this point.
Yeah, so we're now tomorrow night...
CM Punk is no longer a mystery. There's a new mystery.
Unfolds tomorrow. The final night of SummerSlam week. We're not reviewing Raw. I don't give a shit.
Guys, don't watch SummerSlam. Just watch like the highlights.
Don't even watch the highlights. Just watch Brock and Becky walk out. And then
that's it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow for NXT. Andrew Lee, bro. Bye.